The readings for Passion Sunday. The epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. Brethren, Christ being come, a high priest of the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his own blood, entered once into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. If the blood of goats and of oxen and the ashes of a heifer, being sprinkled, sanctify such as are defiled to the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who by the Holy Ghost offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serving the living God? And therefore he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of his death for the redemption of those transgressions which were under the former testament, they that are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Gospel, which is taken from that of St. John. At that time, Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, "Which of you shall convince me of sin? If I say the truth to you, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth the words of God. Therefore you hear them not, because you are not of God." The Jews therefore answered and said to him, "Do not we say well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you have dishonored me. But I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Amen, amen, I say to you, if any man keep my word, he shall not see death forever." The Jews therefore said, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if any man keep my word, he shall not taste death forever. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom dost thou make thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father that glorifieth me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you have not known him, but I know him. And if I shall say that I know him not, I shall be like to you a liar. But I do know him and do keep his word. Abraham your father rejoiced that he might see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews therefore said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was made, I am." They took up stones therefore to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Thus are the words of today's Gospel. Please be seated. Hail, O cross, our one hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, outside of the cross of our Lord, we have no hope. It truly is the key that opens the door to heaven for us. When we sin, when Adam and Eve fell into the first sin, and then when we commit mortal sin, we offer to God an infinite offense. Of course, inasmuch as it's a human action, it's not infinite, as none of our actions are. And yet because we have offended God Almighty, it is infinite. Just the difference being the same as a child who were to insult one of its siblings. It would be a slight offense. But if the child were to insult its own parent, the offense would be much graver. Or again, if one were to offend a priest, the Pope, we can see the offense would be so much greater, and the punishment would have to be much greater. And this indeed is why our sins take on this certain infinitude, because we have offended an almighty and a good God. And all mankind has fallen, and none of us can offer to God the satisfaction which is needed, the satisfaction which is adequate to appease his outraged justice. None of us can. As St. Augustine says, we are in this condemned multitude. We are all in the same condition and all in the same state. And moreover, we can't make up for an infinite offense. And so we are in a real trouble. We are in a real difficulty. But God, He found a solution. God, in His goodness, He promised, as soon as mankind fell into sin, He promised a Redeemer. God Himself would make this satisfaction. And so it would be infinite, and it would be pleasing to Him. But this satisfaction would have to be offered on man's part. And so God became a man, so that as man, He could offer it. Because it was man who sinned. God found the most beautiful and the perfect solution to our difficulty of not being able to satisfy for the offense we committed. And we heard in the epistle how the God-man, our Lord Jesus Christ, He became our high priest, this mediator between God and man, the mediator of the New Testament. Yes, in the sacrifice of the Redeemer's life, that it was necessary. What did God say? What did God say would be the punishment for sin? Dying, you shall die the death. Death is the wages of sin. And so it was necessary for the Redeemer to die, to give His life in order to buy us back, to redeem us. He had to shed His blood. And we see this necessity of death and of sacrifice. We see it immediately after the fall of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, they tried to clothe themselves with leaves, but it was inadequate. And so God took skin from an animal and clothed them Himself. And we see in this the necessity of sacrifice. They have been divested of the baptismal garment. They have been divested of this wedding garment of grace. And God, in order to give it back to them, He had to kill something. Something had to die so that they could have grace back. We see already in figure the necessity of sacrifice, the necessity of something dying in order for life to be given back. Yes, this is our divine Savior. It's symbolic of our divine Savior. Indeed, throughout the whole Old Testament, there are so many symbols of this Redeemer who would come to die for our sins. He is truly the center of all salvation. He is the center. Just as in the Old Testament, they had to raise a brazen serpent in the desert, so all those who were bit by the fiery serpent would have to look on this brazen serpent to be healed. Just as this, we too, we have to look to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those in the Old Testament, through faith in His coming, through faith in His future redemptive act on the cross, and now in the New Testament, through faith in our Lord who has died for us. All through the Old Testament, we have all of these figures showing this death and teaching us the necessity of our Lord's satisfaction on the cross. And we see it especially in the Paschal Lamb, the Lamb who had to die, this Lamb without blemish, and whose blood had to be spread over the doorposts so that the angel of death would pass by. But those victims of the Old Testament, they had no power. They had no power to save or to wash away sin. St. Paul says, "For it is impossible that with the blood of oxen and goats sin should be taken away." They had value only in as much as they pointed to the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. His satisfaction, it was superabundant. How does one satisfy for an offense? If one of your children offends you and then comes up to you and apologizes, gives you a hug, your pleasure in their apology and in that display of their love for you, that outweighs the offense that was given. And so it takes away that offense. It satisfies for it. And it is the same with Almighty God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, by dying on the cross, he offered to God something that he loved more than he hated sin and the offense given to him. He loved this sacrifice of Christ more than the offense that we had offered. And that is how Christ has satisfied for our sin. He gave the most precious thing he could give. He gave the life of God made man, the most precious thing in God's sight. And of course, his death, it was the most cruel death imaginable, the death on the cross. But let us not lose sight of the essence of our Lord's sacrifice, the essence of what made it pleasing to God. It wasn't just the material, physical shedding of blood. No, it was the internal acts of our Lord, the internal sacrifice which he was offering to his Father of his life. Christ became obedient unto death, unto the death of the cross. It is this obedience and love for his Father which made it pleasing to God. And it was manifested by this actual shedding of his blood on the cross. Yes, his act was pleasing to his Father. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, because what pleases the Father, I do always. We see this in the agony, not my will, but thine be done. And then on the cross, it is consummated. Everything you have asked me to do, I have done, in obedience to your will. It is this obedience and love which the Father loves more than the offense that we had offered to him. And in this Passiontide, we have to have the same dispositions. Just as in the Old Testament, all of the Israelites had to look to the coming of the Savior. They had to look to the cross. We too have to look to the cross. In this Passiontide, we have to focus our attention on the cross. It is necessary, we have to be united to that cross. St. Thomas asks the question, shouldn't the one who offended offer satisfaction? We are the ones that sin, so shouldn't we be the one offering the satisfaction to God? And he answers that someone can satisfy for another as long as the two are united. Yes, Christ can offer satisfaction for us, but we have to be united to him and to his sacrifice. And this is the time to do it. During the time of the Passion, we have to look to that brazen serpent to be healed from our sins. In these last couple of weeks, these most sacred weeks, we have to continue to offer our Lenten sacrifices. But just as Christ's sacrifice was about his interior dispositions of offering himself to the will of the Father, our sacrifices, they have to be from the heart. They have to be in these same sentiments as Christ. When we offer up not having sweets, when we offer up our fasting, when we offer up not watching television or videos on the internet, make sure that we are offering up those sacrifices in union with Christ's cross, so that we don't lose their value, so that we don't pass through these next 2 weeks and gain nothing out of them. We have to be united to Christ's cross. And also in these next 2 weeks, be sure to offer up all of the sacrifices that God sends your way, those ones that you're not looking for. That is part of God's will. That is how we die to ourselves in obedience and love, just as Christ did on the cross, dying out of obedience and love to his Father. Make sure we have this interior disposition when we go through these next 2 weeks. And a perfect way to do that is by attending Mass. If you can, offer up the sacrifice of coming to Mass. If you don't have the habit of coming to daily Mass, perhaps you can come to one, to two, to three extra Masses this week. The Mass is Calvary renewed. What better way to unite yourself to the cross than by coming to the sacred, to the most holy sacrifice of the Mass? This is the time of the Passion. And Our Lady, she will teach us the dispositions we need to have in these next 2 weeks, this love of the cross. Stabat juxta crucem, Mater Eius. His mother stood at the foot of the cross. Yes, let us have the same dispositions as Our Lady. Be it done unto me according to thy word, dying to ourselves, following the will of our Father, even to Mount Calvary, so that we can really take hold of this key, the key which is the cross, the key which opens the gate of heaven, the cross which is our one and only hope of salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.